Hi, and welcome to Pastor's Ponderings. I'm Pastor Kevin.
And I'm Pastor Ryan.
And we're glad you're able to join us.
We look forward to diving into this past Sunday's sermon and other things that are going on in our world. We hope that you enjoy your time with us this week. Well, happy rainy Tuesday, Kevin.
Oh, man, I'm building an ark in the backyard.
I know.
It's it rained
all yesterday, all today.
And snow.
Yeah, don't talk about that.
There was a foot of snow at the Columbia Ice Fields.
You're kidding.
No, they had to shut down all that. The whole thing got shut down because of all the snow that came. Wow. And there's snow around all the mountains now. Hey, there's they're all white capped.
We were supposed to go on that boat ride yesterday at Malign Lake. That got canceled. Oh,
man, so many good things gone because of weather.
Weather.
Welcome to Alberta.
Right?
It's not like the sunny Okanagan where you can pretty much guarantee it's going to be nice.
After May long, you know, it's going to be nice.
Smooth sailing.
Smooth sailing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But we need the rain.
Yep, we do.
My lawn is going to love it.
Mm-hmm. And the fire, you know, the fire hazard definitely drops down to nothing, basically. Yeah,
so that's good.
So that's all good stuff, too.
Yes.
For sure.
You know, places like California and Australia would be begging for this sort of rain with the droughts that they've been having.
Yeah, so, for sure. Sydney, terrible place. Mm-hmm. Lots of fire there. Yeah. Anyway, we're not here to talk about that stuff.
No, we're not here to talk about weather.
Talking about the weather.
So Sunday, series. Sunday, and I'm excited for this one. Mm-hmm. As somebody that is new to the Alliance as of last year.
Right, yeah, exactly.
When I was hired on here.
And, yeah.
I've been introduced to the fourfold gospel.
Yes, you have.
You remember the first time I, you know, filling out paperwork for my licensing with the Alliance and getting hired and everything. It was, you know, be able to explain the fourfold gospel. And I'm like, okay, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
That's fourfold.
Fourfold. Four perspective. Matthew, Mark, and then I did some reading and realized, oh, that's not what they're talking about. Okay. What do you mean, Alliance, by fourfold gospel?
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been, over the last year, I feel like I've just been waiting and immersed in Alliance history and thoughts, and just finished the course and the papers and read a lot of Simpson, our founder. And so I'm excited for this because I feel like it's, I kind of took over here, but
that's fine. Go for it. I'm enjoying it.
Reading and looking at what the fourfold gospel is, how it came about. Mm-hmm. And there's, actually, somebody you went to Bible school with, Bernie Vanderwall, that wrote a book on this and showing how this wasn't, it is an Alliance distinctive in that, you know, A.B. Simpson came up with the terminology for fourfold gospel.
Yeah.
But really, it's a reflection of the theology of late 19th century. Mm-hmm. This is what the church held on to. And it's good stuff.
Yeah, it's good, rich,
and it's
deep
good,
stuff.
Rich, deep stuff that, you know, has different names depending on the context you're in. But as I think we're going to see and have seen starting Sunday, is this is the basics of our faith. This is the basics of who we are as a believer, as a follower of Jesus. Mm-hmm. And just kind of a neat packaging to it that I've really appreciated as I've been able to dive in and kind of unpack it.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, it's been bread and butter for me.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even remember the first time I heard that phrase, the fourfold gospel, but I heard it as a kid. I heard it from the pulpit. I heard it in Sunday school. I heard it everywhere. Mm-hmm. The symbol of the Alliance, you know, the cross, the laver, the crown, and the oil pitcher. Mm-hmm. That symbol has been everywhere on all things in my education, even out to Canadian Bible school. So definitely I grew up in it. So,
You know, two very different perspectives.
Even on Sunday when I asked the room of about 40 people,
40
maybe,
people,
maybe more. Mm-hmm. There were some helpers and workers there. So of all of us together, I was the only one
who had come out of an alliance.
I was the Alliance boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you think, well, isn't that interesting that there are so many people who really don't understand the background to this and what makes an Alliance church an Alliance church?
Right. Yeah.
Right. And on Thursday night, when we were here talking about our ministry to help out the food bank and deliver food to people who need it. Mm-hmm. One of the ladies there saw the symbol on the chalkboard and it started a conversation about, well, when I first came here, I always wondered what, you know, what does the Alliance believe? What is that?
And then right, yeah.
someone directed her attention towards the fourfold gospel. And that's how she kind of figured out, oh, okay, this is what this church is about.
Yeah.
And it really is the heart. It's the DNA. It's the pulse, the cardio of the Christian Mission Alliance is the fourfold gospel. And some have argued that, you know, the gospel is bigger than four folds.
Right. Yeah.
Which I suppose is very true.
Yeah.
But Simpson wasn't claiming that it was the whole gospel.
No.
He was claiming that this helped explain the whole gospel.
That's right.
And I think, you know, you see some of the banners from those old missionary days, even some of the pictures from Simpson's time.
Right.
It was the whole gospel. The whole Jesus, the whole gospel for the whole world. That was
right.
The,
yes.
But in that, he had devised or he'd been able to quarter it up into four key things that were essentials.
Right. Right.
Not saying that the other stuff isn't essential too. It was try to emphasize that brought about really kind of circled the wagon on almost everything that comes out of salvation.
Right.
That goes into salvation. And so it's been very good. I think even for myself, like I know over the years as a pastor in the Alliance, I've preached this message wherever I went. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, you know, I'll preach it a few times.
Right.
Because it does put you back to where our roots are.
Yeah.
And we drift. There's just a natural drift. Yeah. You know, even as before we started this, the cultural milieu, the cultural problems, the issues that arise out of the culture that we're in, very different than the culture of A.B. Simpson.
Absolutely.
So it can tend to be forgotten because of all the other stuff that you got to wade through to try and just minister in this kind of a world that we live in.
Right. Yeah.
But it goes back to the basics, which is beautiful. So Sunday, we definitely looked at Christ our Savior.
Yes.
And one of the joyful parts of that was the imaginative walk that we got to take.
Yes. On the road to Emmaus.
The road to Emmaus with Jesus suddenly showing up. And then starting with Moses all the way through the prophets, he described the scriptures about himself. Mm-hmm. So now, well, we get to choose now,
right?
So we chose a few that I thought would be kind of fun. Mm-hmm. And of course, my favorite of all time was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Right.
Yes.
And the fourth man in the fire. Mm-hmm. That was my favorite part. Yeah. So, yeah, but I think overall, you can say safely that the entire scripture, the entirety of it all, even the Jewish part, the Jewish Bible, the Old Testament, we called it. Some people now call it the Older Testament.
Yeah.
All points to Jesus.
That's right.
Everything.
Yeah.
He is everything.
Yeah. And I love this. You know, for years, I've really been passionate about looking at the Old Testament through that lens as everything is pointing to Jesus. You know, the stories that we read, yes, there's great morals. There's great encouragement from them. But if we miss how it's all leading to Jesus, we're missing really the main thrust of everything. Mm-hmm. Like all of history was leading up to Jesus. Mm-hmm. And all of history now is rooted in the cross.
Yep.
And so to really understand the Old Testament, you have to look at it as pointing to Jesus, as being all about him.
Yep. Even the stories that don't directly point to him, they point to the need for him.
That's right.
So that's the same thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So even in those stories that you read in the Old Testament that, you know, man is failing and, you know, flopping around trying to obey the commands.
Right.
Even that part, you need Jesus.
That's right.
You get to the Gospels, they're all about Jesus.
Yeah.
You get to the, you know, the post-Gospels, the rest of the New Testament, everything centers around him.
That's right.
So, and you get to the end, and who's it all about?
All about Jesus.
It's about Jesus. So, you know, that's, I think if you get too far down the other tracks, I know that you have to be holistic in your theology. You have to see God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No doubt.
Yeah.
But when it comes to the application of life, you've got to come to Jesus.
Yeah.
Even he said that about himself.
That's right.
You can't get to the Father.
That's right.
Unless you come to me.
Unless you come to me. Yeah.
And you can't have the Holy Spirit unless I send him.
Yeah.
So he sends the Spirit and he directs us to the Father.
Right.
So he is the signpost. He's the one we come to.
That's right.
Because he's human. You know, we can't relate as well to God the Father.
Right.
And we can't relate as well to the Holy Spirit, but we can relate to Jesus. And that's the intention, I think, of the whole thing was that flesh and blood, right? We have someone who is like us that we can now look to as our guide and our example and our challenger, our, our champion. That whole thing, you bet. So he is our savior, no doubt about it.
Yeah. You know, it's amazing, you know, even to think about how, and this isn't in any way to, you know, saying that, you know, the fall was a good thing, by no means, but I think we also see, like, it's amazing the grace that God has that as sinful humans, we get to experience him in such a profound way as our savior. That, you know, there's one thing to be loved. It's another thing to be loved when you don't deserve it. And to know that you don't deserve it and to see very blatantly, very clearly, you don't deserve it, yet to still experience that love. Like, it's just, you know, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Baffling.
Yeah.
And to know that nothing can ever separate us from that love. Nothing. That's death, life, angels, hell, demons, nothing.
Nothing
can separate us from the love of God that is shown to us in Christ Jesus. Very cool stuff. You know, walking through the message on Sunday, then changing gears and saying, it's all about Jesus. But when we come to believe in him, then there is a dump truck load of good things that come to us.
That's right.
Not the least of which is forgiveness. I mean, talk about, where do you go in this world to find that?
Oh, I know.
I don't know if you can.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it happens and I know people forgive each other. I think that's cool. I think it's maybe even that image of God kind of part of us that even people who are, you know, terrible people can forgive
they
somebody.
They can still forgive.
They can still forgive somebody. But when you come to the scriptures and you realize that what Jesus gives us in forgiveness is a slate that's wiped clean, that all our sin and shame and guilt and all of it gone when we believe. What a gift. You look in all the other religions that are out there, it's not there. Like that gift is missing.
That's right.
And you have to earn it. And you're never completely sure if you get it.
Right.
And you know you're supposed to forgive because a lot of other, you know, scriptures talk about forgiveness, not just the Bible.
Right.
And you know you're supposed to, but how? Where, what's your gauge? What's your measure? What's your sort of motivation to do that?
Yeah.
You know, other than fear and worry that if I don't, well,
where am I going
to
know?
I'm going to miss my mark when it comes to being one with the universe or whatever the, whatever the goal is. But with Jesus, it's handed to us with repentance. We come to him, say, I've made a mess and I can't clean it up. I can't wipe the stains off my soul. We can't. We have nothing. We have no detergent, no pretending. We can't fake it till we make it.
Right.
It just doesn't happen. You can't think positive thoughts and they go away.
Right.
Your sin is there. When you're done all your fancy, you know, jumping around, jumping
your hoops,
you're still left with a bag of sin. But Jesus takes it all away. So that I thought was, you know, like changing the course and saying, you know, of course it's all about Jesus, but here's what he brings to us when we believe in him. Well, that was fun too, to walk down that sort of part of the message. And I came across a VP, the VP from the United States of, I think he's of mission and something other, some other name is attached to him. He had said that a scholar that he had read had come up with 30 things that come directly to us when we believe. I'd like to find that somehow. You know, I've been curious. And someone after church asked, so where is that scholar and who is that? I'm like, I actually don't even know. I borrowed that from this guy. And I thought, wow, I would love to know what the other 30 are. Because even though I, when I took that from him, my first thought was, that's it? Only 30? Doesn't seem like it's very much. But I think if you keep the definition really narrow and you keep it really focused, what else comes to us from Jesus? Life, forgiveness, wholeness, meaning, purpose, you know, a mission. His presence. His righteousness, his wisdom, his life, his ability to guide us, you know, mm-hmm. that gives us strength. I mean, it really is quite something. It would incorporate every important thing about life.
That's right.
And you could probably do that in 30 things.
Yeah.
And know that this was an amazing gift.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I love how you put that, his righteousness, his life, his peace, because that's what it is. And I think that's why we start with Christ, our Savior. And that's our starting point.
Yeah.
Because it does, it starts and it finishes with him. Like it's all about him.
Yeah.
And yes, we need righteousness. Yes, we need peace. Those things are only found in him.
In him. And he becomes those things to us.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
So that, I think, is the beauty of it, is that we're in process to become like him.
Mm-hmm.
And he gives us his spirit to do that. Yeah. And his spirit is taking from what is Jesus and making it known to us. So it comes from him.
Mm-hmm.
And he even said, it's good for you that I go away so I can send the Holy Spirit to you so that you can be empowered. So that's another thing we get from Jesus, is empowerment.
Yeah.
We have a weapon to use against sin so that we don't have to always fall into sinful habits, sinful ways of thinking, sinful activity. We can actually have weaponry that's powerful that can save us from that.
Yeah.
And we don't have to go through those terrible experiences that come from it, because it always lays it out really positive at front.
Right.
If you do this, it's going to be joyful, pleasurable, helpful.
Yeah.
And then you do it and you come out the other end and you've been broken, sapped, sapped of life. You know, it's a mess. You look back at all the people and the bodies and the carnage and you go, okay, that really wasn't very good.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking of the testimony that we heard here a couple of weeks back by one of our parishioners.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, she had an experience with God that she knew was taking her, you know, away from an old life.
Right.
She felt fresh and clean, I think, is the way she described her experience with God. And she'd come out of the New Age, and she was definitely dissatisfied with what it offered.
Right.
Because it didn't offer what, no, it didn't. It didn't match what it offered.
Right.
It was writing checks it couldn't cash in. So she said that at one point in her journey, she's lying on her bed, if I get this right, and all of these thoughts start coming to her from her old life, trying to drag her back in to that old way of
negative
thinking,
thoughts,
the negative lies, stuff,
the
lies. And I love her response.
Yeah.
She just kept crying out, I follow Jesus now.
I follow Jesus.
I follow Jesus now.
Yeah.
And there again, you see one of the benefits is that he is our protector.
Yeah.
He's the one who keeps us shielded from the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
She said, when I started saying that, they had to leave. They left me alone.
Yeah.
And she, that's when she got all emotional. And,
right.
You know, she was so sort of glad that she knew that if she called out to Jesus, I follow Jesus now.
Right.
They have no power.
Yeah.
Instantly.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful story. Like,
it is.
To me, I was just so thrilled.
Yeah.
That our church, you know, we could be involved in people's lives like that.
Mm-hmm. I think it's so amazing because it is a person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it isn't this far off king that we say, well, he said, and there's this law that says you can't be here. But no, no, no. Mm-hmm. He is here.
Yeah.
And he says right now, you can't be here.
Yeah.
And it makes it so personal, because it isn't some far off deity, some far off God that you're like, well, I hope he pulls through.
Yeah.
And you know, he's way out there, but you know, he says this is true, but no, no, no. This is Jesus himself who is with us.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus himself who is our Savior
and
walks with us.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's such a beautiful faith we have.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not true, it sure is wonderful being in it.
I know, I've seen that thing, you know, people ask, you know, what if you're wrong? Well, I'd rather die having this hope.
Yeah, that's right.
And find out that I'm wrong than to die thinking it's not true and figure out, I missed out.
It is right. Yeah. No, that's very true. Yeah. It is a beautiful life that's full of Jesus. And the fragrance of Jesus has been something on my mind. I think I've mentioned it even on the podcast before. Yeah. The fragrance of Jesus, wherever we go, especially in this broken, stinky, stench-filled world where everything is greed and wickedness and lies and deception, and you can't trust anybody anywhere.
Yeah,
in the big bad world,
right? Yeah,
And then you come across this beautiful fragrance, the mm-hmm. fragrance of love that's genuine,
yeah.
that cares about you.
Mm-hmm.
You come across someone who's willing to sacrifice their life so that you can have life.
Yeah.
You can live to the fullest extent, abundant life, Jesus called it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's yeah. what we get when we believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. that's really cool.
Yeah.
And I think we're on a good journey. I think it's going to be fun to sort of sort out what all this means. And I think, like we said on Sunday morning, like I said on Sunday morning, that there are so many things that can divide us. There's mm-hmm. the myriads. There's
right. thousands and thousands Absolutely. Of things that we would disagree on.
Yeah.
For sure. And some of them rightly so. And maybe we're wrong. You know, that could mm-hmm. be true too.
Yeah.
But we're still disagreeing.
Yeah.
But we have to set those things to the side
mm-hmm.
so that we can focus on who Jesus is.
That's right.
Right now to yeah. me, so that I can be Jesus to you and you can mm-hmm. be Jesus to me
yeah.
and anybody around us.
Yeah.
And then the fragrance of that life fills the room.
Yeah.
And fills our lives.
Yeah.
Mm.
And you know, that's the heart behind this whole fourfold gospel message is that it is finding that unity. When A.B. Simpson started out, he, you know, like you said, Sunday, he wasn't trying to form a denomination.
No.
He wasn't trying to pull people out of churches to form no. his own churches.
Yeah.
But it was a brotherhood, a camaraderie, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. People partnering together saying, these are the essentials.
Yeah.
The fourfold gospel. These yeah. are the essentials. This is what we're going to
yeah.
Build this movement off of is these yeah. essentials.
Mm-hmm.
And it was experiencing deeper life, experiencing Christ in deeper and deeper ways yep. and going out on mission
yep.
to spread the gospel.
That's right.
And really that's what it's about.
Yeah.
There's so many peripheral things that,
yes.
you know, we could discuss yep. and we could banter back and forth sure. and sure, let's do it.
Sure. Even theological things.
Right.
We could disagree right. on those.
But let's not let it affect our unity
mm-hmm.
because there are core essential things that we hold on to. And when yeah. we do that,
yeah.
and really I say things, really it's a person,
right?
It's Jesus.
It's Jesus.
And when we hold on to him, and him alone, he does bring us into unity.
Yep.
And it's a beautiful unity that we can't come up with on our own.
No, that's very true. It's been given to us to maintain in Christ.
Right.
And talk about, I love it because it's not uniformity.
No.
We don't have to think the same.
Right.
In fact, it would be weird if we did.
Yeah. I mean, unless everybody agreed with me, then I'd be okay with that.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, no. Right. Exactly. Yeah, we all have to agree with Ryan.
Please
but,
don't.
Yeah, but the thing is, like, that alone would freak me out if everybody had to agree with me because I right? know I've got some
weird thoughts. Oh, I know.
So the beauty of it is that we can come to agreement in mm-hmm. Jesus. He is God in yeah. human flesh, and that's where we stand.
Yeah.
And he has given us certain dictates. And mm-hmm. one of the things that Simpson kept mentioning was the whole idea of the bring back the king theology, you know, the... Mm-hmm. the message of if we get this gospel out there
right.
to all the nations, then the end can come.
Can come. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like totally mission driven.
Yeah.
Yeah. So get Jesus out there wherever you go, right. not just so that you can experience all these wonderful goodies, but so that you can go out and share that with mm-hmm. the rest of the world and bring him back.
That's right.
So it was kind of a two right. pronged approach.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff.
Yeah.
So what's next?
Next, Christ our sanctifier.
Right.
And this is a big one for me.
Yeah.
I'm excited that I get to preach this one right just on. Because as I've been diving into the fourfold gospel, this has been one that has kind of become front and center for me.
Yeah.
Just as I've thought back over my own life and just been able to see the realness mm-hmm. of this
mm-hmm.
and see the testimony of this in my life
yeah.
all the way back to when I was a kid and
yeah.
Had none of this terminology. But to see God's faithfulness in this and the truth of this and yeah. experiences look back and like, oh, this is real.
Yeah.
This is, yeah. and like, so of tired. Course, I believe that about ever all four parts.
Right.
So no,
yeah,
but,
yeah.
but this one has just been one that's really spoken to me over this last year. And
well,
so I'm excited to,
I'm excited you know, too now.
hopefully keep it within the time frame, but
we might get a little longer this
little
time
little
just
longer.
Because it's a one service morning.
Right. So bring a snack. No.
Yeah. So bring your lunch.
Bring your lunch. No. But no, I'm really excited for it and to be able to dive in and, you know, take these things that I've kind of been collecting and these trinkets and then putting them together,
yeah.
communicating in a,
yeah.
you know, a more full way.
Yeah. Pretty exciting stuff.
Yeah. Well, good chatting with you this morning.
Yes, you
Thanks
as well.
For joining us out there, you listeners. I don't know how many there are out there, but good to have you along with us.
And we'll be back next week.
Yep.
Same time, same place.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Pastor's Ponderings. We hope you enjoyed it, and we look forward to diving in again with you next week. But until then, keep loving God and serving people.